We're continuing our series, Examine Your Face. And so we have our friend, Mr. Potato Head, Mr. Spud here. And so we hope that you enjoy the service as my wife comes and preach. Amen. Y'all give her a hand.
All right. We're going to get started. Last week, Pastor said about the words of your heart produce whatever they produce. So what's in your heart is usually what comes out of your mouth. Today, we're going to take the words of our mouth a little bit at Romans chapter 4. Things that are not as though they were will be the sermon title for today. So can you say that? Things that are not as though they were. Now this is going to, I want to tell you what this sermon is not before I tell you what the sermon is. Because sometimes people have taken this scripture and twisted it and declared things that cannot be true. Or declare things how they want them to be true, but then they don't. This sermon today is not a blab it and grab it sermon. You ever heard of that? You blab it, you speak it out, you grab it, it's yours. Amen? So you speak $1 million, boom, $1 million, it's yours. This is not that sermon, okay? So turn to your neighbor and say, this is not that sermon. This is not a get more money quicker sermon, though that would be wonderful to get more quicker, right? Amen. This is, you have to be wise stewards and you have to tithe and be generous in your stewarding. This is not an instant success sermon. How many people would like instant success in your kids or your family? We all would, but this is not that. This happens for no one. This is not even those for speak powerful words. This is not a fame or fortune sermon. I don't know if you're interested in fame or in fortune, but this is not this kind of sermon at all. Some people have used this scripture for that. And then this is not an instant healing sermon. Though I believe in healing and I know that God has healed me personal, he has healed many people in my family, and the Lord chooses whom he's going to heal. And I would just say that we take the stance, Ted and I, that God can heal and he will heal. And even if he chooses not to heal, I'm still going to serve him for all the rest of my days. This is not a sermon that I can't believe I spoke cancer to be gone and it's not gone and I'm suffering through cancer and now I don't know that God is real. This is not that sermon. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is not that sermon. It's not that sermon. I just wanted to get that out there so that when we talk about what this sermon is and what these words are, that we would have a good understanding. Today, we're going to take our power of our words. Your words have power. They do. You can speak life or you can speak death with the power of your tongue. Why? Because you are created in the image of God. You are. You look good. So when God created you, he took some of the same characteristics of who he is, and then he planted them on the inside of you. So the same power that runs through God to speak things into existence, whether that's light or animals or mountains or seas or whatever that was in Genesis 1 and 2, that same power resides in us because of who Jesus is. That's why we sing the song, God, you're so good. I'm blessed and anointed. I'm full of God's power. Why? Because of him. I am who he says I am. And so today we're going to take a look at this and we're going to take it a step further, calling the power of things that are not as though we were. So I'll start with a story. We have 4 kids. They're adopted. We have 4 adopted Filipino kids. Thank you. And so somebody's, woo, and only one person, it's okay. And so I'm good. And so we have 4 kids. We have a 14-year-old and a 12-year-old and a 9 and a 6-year-old. And my life is always crazy. 7, she's 7. And so the interesting thing for us is that when we adopted our kids, we didn't get their names. We just got a number. We got a number like 54321. It wasn't that simple. And so we got this number. We got like a black and white photo mug shooting of them. And then for like a year and a half, we waited to go get our kids in the Philippines. And Ted and I are married, but we don't have kids, so we're bored. And so so at night, what we would do was we would look for our kids. And finally, we found Cebu Shelter of Hope. And now Cebu Shelter of Hope is where our kids were. And so because everybody in the planet is now on Facebook, amen, and so you can connect with anybody. So we found the Cebu Shelter of Hope. And so I was like, Ted, I found the shelter. I found them. And so we start going through the pictures, right, of all the pictures that they're throwing up of all the kids that are in their orphanage. And we don't know which one our kids are. We had no idea who our kids were because they all sort of looked the same. And so, and our kids were like, our picture we had was 2 years back. And so I was like, I don't know. And so we would just look for them. In the process, they send us our kids' names. And so my oldest kid's name is Lemuel, which is good because I was going to name my kid Takis Fuego. And because that's the best kind of chip there is. And so I was going to name my kid Takis Fuego, and Ted was going to name his boy Titus, which is weird. And so that doesn't even fit in our family. And so he was sitting there, and I said, well, Lemuel. So we looked up his name. What does it mean? You know, what is his name has a meaning? Let's look it up. And Lemuel's name literally means called of God, for God. So we just said, God, we just believe that this boy is going to be called of God. And he sort of got me worried because in all his pictures, he looks thug. But Lemuel is not thug. Hallelujah. He is called of God. And he's the least thug person I know. And so Rianne's name is maiden or princess. She's a maiden or princess, what her name means. And if you know her, she is a maiden or a princess. Mylin's name is all spelt weird, and so we're still trying to figure it out, so we just called her Mylin Grace. Hallelujah. We are praying for grace in her life. But my second boy, his name is Carlo. Now, this is the picture. This is the first picture that we have of Carlo in the orphanage right here. Whenever I saw that picture, I knew it was him, right? Because, like, the hair. And then he's like, Mom, don't show that picture because I have good hair now. And this is bad hair. And so whenever, this is the first picture that I saw of my boy. And I thought, oh, we're getting a bunch of crazy. And so, and so that's him. And he is celebrating, I don't know what, just being crazy because that's who he is. And so he's sitting there. And so we sort of looked up his name. What does his name mean? We're going to speak things that are not as though they were. And lo and behold, Carlo's name means manly. I was looking at that picture. God, he is going to be a man. He's going to be a warrior. He's going to be fierce. He's going to love you all the days of his life, and he's going to slay lions and all these different things. And so I'm sitting there, and we get him. He comes to the United States, and I say, Carlo, can you go dump the garbage? And he can't because he's so scared of what's going to happen between our house and the garbage can. And I know we live on the east side, but come on, we live behind Oaklawn. And so here we are. And so you ask the boy anything, and he's scared of everything. And so me and Ted, for the past 3 years of our lives, have been speaking into this man of God. He's going to be a warrior, a man of God. And so I'm on the women's conference. All the ladies, 22 ladies came. And so I'm sitting there, and Ted shoots me this picture into my text messages. So this is my warrior man of God. Yeah. And so if you can't see well, that's him with warrior clothes on, which I'm sure he may go put on. And they found that snake in my backyard. And you see that snake, that thing that he's holding is actually like however tall he is snake. And so I'm thinking, God has answered my prayers. The Lord has spoken. I have heard everything. I now have a man of God. And so I texted and I said, who killed the snake? I just want to know who chopped him up twice. Was it Carlo or was it you? And I know, and he said, okay, I can't lie. I chopped the snake, but I thought it'd be funny to take a picture where we are pretending like my man is a man of God. And so today we're going to talk about the power of your words and speaking things that are not as though they were. Romans chapter 4. Are you there? Romans chapter 4. Let's see what the Lord, through the prophet Paul, through the apostle Paul, has to speak. In Romans chapter 4 in verse 13, it says this: For the promise to Abraham and his offspring, that he would be heir of the world, did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. So there is a law that governs us, but then there is a righteousness that comes by faith. And you say, well, what is faith? Well, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So whenever you sit yourself in the teaching, that's why church fellowship is so important, because you hear the word of God on a Sunday, and what are you filled with? Faith. And faith comes as you hear more of the word, you believe more of the word, and you act out more of what the word is saying. So Paul is writing and saying Abraham wasn't righteous because he followed every part of the law. Amen, because I don't follow every part of the law. I oftentimes speed. I oftentimes do things that are not correct. Abraham, Paul says, Abraham was righteous because he believed what God had said. Well, what did God say? Let's keep on reading. In verse 14, it says, for if the adherents of the law, who are to be heirs to faith, is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is law, there is no law, there is no transgression. That's why it depends on faith. In order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all of his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now here's 17. If you're a writing, highlighting kind of person, just take this and write it and highlight it. As it is written, the Bible says, I have made you. Now who is you? Abraham. So everybody say Abraham. So it is written, I have made you, Abraham, the father of many nations, in the presence of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls things into existence that do not exist. So he is calling Abraham by faith. He is calling him a father of many nations. That's who God said that Abraham was. He even says that. And so he is speaking into existence things that are not as though they were. In fact, the King James Version says it like this, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him who believed, even God who quickens the dead and calls those things which are not as though they were. So today we're going to go back and see, when did this happen in Abram's life? Abram used to be Abram until he became Abraham. So let's go back into the Old Testament and see, where did this transition happen that Abraham began to believe what God said about him? So let's look at Genesis chapter 17. We have it on the screen. Genesis chapter 17 in verse 1. It says, when Abram was 99 years old. Everybody say 99. Now here's where the story really gets started. So Abram was 99 years old, and the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Now notice, to walk in the words of God over your life, you have to recognize who God is. Every time that we have an encounter with the Lord, he has to come first. So you see, Abraham has an encounter, even though he's 99. The first thing that always happens is God is so good. And everything about him is to glorify him and to make him known and make him famous. And so when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him. And this is what he said, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be what? Blameless. Now, for these powers and confessions to work over your life, you can't confess something if you're still in a mess. You can't confess, God, I need to get out of my debt, if you're not tithing. I'm just going to say that. You can't confess, God, I want wholeness and wellness in my life, if you are stuck in a pattern of sin. And I'm not meaning like, oh, wow, I did that. God, I repent and I'm so sorry. I mean, you continue in your sin. You continue to do things the wrong way, yet you want God to bless your mess. He will not do that. I don't care how much you confess, God will not bless your mess. He wants you to give your mess over to him, and then God will begin to bless it as you confess it. So here's the thing that Abram does. He gets his life right, and he walks before the Lord blameless. And in verse 2, he says, I will confirm my covenant between me and you, and will greatly increase your numbers. So Abraham fell face down, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. Say that. You will be the father of many nations. Now, how old is Abram? 99. How many people in this room are a father because you had something come out of you at 99 years old? No one. We had a laugh. We had a couple. There is no one in the room that became a father, unless maybe through adoption. Most of us don't even live to 99. But at 99 years old, God said, this is the word I'm going to speak. Abram, if you'll keep blameless, if you will walk in faith, I am confessing, I am speaking a word. You will be the father of many nations. But look, it doesn't stop. Keep on reading. In verse 3, why? Abraham fell face down, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham. And guess what Abraham means? Look at the next couple of words. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give you an everlasting possession, to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. Even though Sarah and Abraham were old, they were totally unable to produce a child. God renames Abram into what? Abraham, which means what? Father of many nations. Now, can you imagine that name change? Some people change their names, like basketball stars and crazy people, but Abram changes his name to Abram, and then he has to declare that about himself. So he walks into a place at 99 years old, and he goes to wherever he's going to stand before kings or administrators or his family, and he says, hey, my name is Abraham. And in that culture, names were everything. You didn't just name your kid whatever you wanted to name your kid. You named him something that you were believing God for. So Abraham would introduce himself and say, I am the father of many nations. And they would look at that man, 99 years old. They would look at him and say, how dare you say something like that? How dare you proclaim something that in the physical could never, ever happen? And so he goes into the next place, and he says, I am Abraham, the father of many nations. And I'm sure, again, they mocked him and made fun of him. And so he goes to place after place, and eventually, after saying it so many times about yourself, I am Abraham, I am the father of many nations, I am Abraham, you get a little bit stronger, and you get to strut around. This is who God said Abraham was. So he's just declaring what God had already said over his life. That's what we're going to talk about today, declaring what God has already said about you. So many times we speak a negative word. Oh, my teacher in fourth grade said I was a loser and I'll never amount to anything, so therefore I'm a loser and I'll never amount to anything. And you speak that word and you have no problem speaking that word. But you have a problem with speaking what God has already said about you. So we have to change what comes out of our mouth so that we can become who God wants us to be. And Abraham was just like, I'm the man of God. I am the father of many nations. I am the person that God has for the job. Every time Abraham introduced himself, he was agreeing with what God had already said. He was the father regardless of the circumstances. He didn't care if people thought it was a lie. He believed in God in such a way that he started calling himself the father of many, because he understood that God creates life when none exists through the power of what? Your words. See, we're not talking today just about having good words. We're talking about confessing God's word over your life. When I was young, I know you'll probably not believe this, but I couldn't speak. I couldn't. I stuttered. And so my mom used to make me answer the phone. I didn't like answering the phone. This was before text messages and cell phones. So whenever the phone would ring, I'd get nervous and palmy and sweaty, like I was getting ready to die. And my mom would say, Tara, go and answer the phone. And it could be like my grandmother. It could have been anybody. I didn't care. I just didn't like talking to people. I didn't like talking in front of people. So when they asked me to speak, I got really nervous and scared in college because I thought, this is not really who God has said I am. I like sitting in the background. I literally picked up chairs and cleaned the toilets of our college campus, a ministry place. I didn't care. I was good. And then all the guys were out of town, so they asked me to speak, and I got up, and I just had to say to myself, I am called, I am anointed, I am full of God's power, because I didn't even believe that about myself. All I could remember was the little girl who stuttered over and over and didn't have anything good to say and couldn't make sense out of two sentences when I put them together. I was the shyest kid probably in my high school, though God put me in position. I didn't have anything to say, and now you can't shut me up. Why? Because I believe that as I spoke those words over my life, God, I am filled with your power. I don't just sing a song. I declare a song over my life. God, I am confessing what you have already said. And it is time, ladies and gentlemen, that you would confess what God has already said about you. See, we have to be like Abraham. You have to stand up and not care what anybody else in the room. If God said, I am the father of a nation, I am the father of a nation. If God has called you today, he has a power and a purpose for you. And you walk out the words of God in your life and you say, this is who God said I am. And you take some scriptures and you back it up with the word of God. That's what Abraham did. He didn't just say something that he wanted to be, though I'm sure he wanted to have a son. That's a blessing from the Lord. But he heard the voice of the Lord and then he spoke on it. Some of you need to confess for your kids. You need to begin to profess for your kids that they will be men and women of God. And you don't listen. They come in and they call and it gets worse instead of better. You don't listen to that voice. You listen to the voice of the Lord. Train up a child in the way they go. And when they grow old, my kids will not depart. They may wander, but they will not depart. Why? Because we have trained them in the way of the Lord. I'm confessing that over my family. I am confessing health and wholeness over my family. And so we just begin to speak what God has already said. There is a power in your words. Number two. Like another way to look at this, God spoke the world into existence. What did he use? His words. The power of his words, and he spoke into existence. Genesis says the earth was formless, empty, and dark until God spoke, let there be light. From the beginning of time, God started speaking of a Messiah. Here's another example. God started saying, hey, there's going to be a Messiah as early as Genesis chapter 3. You know, it took a couple thousand of years later before we saw Jesus the Messiah. God didn't care. Look at, he told the serpent, God spoke to him and said, there is coming someone to crush you. God spoke a word and said, hey, that's coming. It took 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years, but God said, that Messiah is coming. To Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus was born, God spoke and said, a virgin will conceive you and give birth to a son called Emmanuel. He was speaking into existence those things that already were. To Mary, God spoke and said, you will be with child, and he will save his people from their sins. So again, God is speaking through Mary and saying, hey, this is going to happen because I said it would. Now, I love this story, the story of Gideon. We have it on the screen. In Judges chapter 6, here's another person that we see say, okay, we have the problems, and we know that Jesus is the answer through the power of my word. So Judges chapter 6 in verse 11, it says, now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the tree which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joaz the Abzurite, with his son Gideon threshed wheat in the wine press in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and did what? And said, everybody say said. So he said to Gideon, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. So that's what the word of the Lord said. God is with you, you mighty man of valor. God is with you, Hope Community Church. You mighty people of valor that can rise up and become the men and the woman that God has declared you to be. But listen to what Gideon says. In verse 13, Gideon said to him, oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? Doesn't that sound like us? As soon as God speaks a word, you walk out of church, I'm anointed, I'm favored, I'm full of God's power, and immediately the enemy will come and start saying, but you know you're not anointed. Look what you did last Saturday. You know you don't have power because you just told your kids something crazy. And so you begin to look at who you are instead of about what God says that you are. And so you walk out this room defeated. And Gideon says, I don't even care if you call me a man of valor, because at this point in my life, I feel miserable. I feel dejected and rejected. And Gideon said to him, oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. So Gideon looks at his situation. He looks at the things going around him. He looks at the things that he believes he is, and he cannot for a moment believe that he is a man of valor, that he has a purpose. And so he begins to do what we always do, confessing the negative. He speaks death into his words. He speaks the what he knows instead of what God has said. We do that. We'll say, I'm not significant. I'm not valuable. Some of us will say, I can't keep friends. I don't have any friends, but I can't keep friends. Some of us will say, I will never change. Some of you say, they will never change. Some of you, have you ever heard that? Oh, how's your kid? He's bad. Speaking bad things into him. Not me. I mean, my little crazy kid, she's going to be a preacher. And so I'm just speaking the goodness of God over life. She's going to use all of her crazy for the name of Jesus, right? So I'm just speaking life. You can't come and say, now, if she's bad, she's getting a whooping. But other than that, you know, we're not going to speak death into her, because we're confessing what God has already said about them. And so you can't say, well, they're just never going to change. No, they will change in Jesus' name. I'm praying for them. I'm anointing you with oil. I'm fasting. I'm doing all the things required. I will see change. Some of us, they'll say your situation will never change. But you're just speaking into existence something that will never change. And you keep on saying that will never change. It will never change. And you don't want to confess the word of God over your lives. We don't speak things usually that are not as though they were. But yet we serve a God, and that's the only way that he speaks. The God that you serve, the only way that he speaks is things that are not as though they were. See, that's where Gideon is. And so he goes back, and in verse 14, we can look at it. It says, then the Lord turned to him and said, go in the might of yours, and you shall have Israel from the hands of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? So he said to him, oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest. So here he goes again, talking about how he's not able. He's the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. And so God again declares the word of God and the power of God and the anointing of God. And we have to be a people that will confess things that are not as though they were. You have to begin to say things that are not, and you speak God's promises. You speak God's words over your life, over the life of your family. You begin to speak over the life of your family, over your problems, over your situation, your job, and everything else. You begin to declare and say, okay, God, this is the job that God has for me, and I will be successful in my job because of who he is. And so you begin to talk in the biblical principles of confessing God's word, and it brings to pass what is already there in the spiritual realm. So today, here's what you got to do. In your bulletin, there's a sheet. I need you all to take out the sheet. I am a teacher by nature. Everybody has to do it. If you don't have one, do we have some extra bulletins? Has anybody got some bulletins? Anybody turn to you? If you have one, give one to your neighbor. Does anybody else have one? I don't know. We do have them on the screen. We do have them on the screen, too. No problem. We have them on the screen. We're prepared. And so here we are. We are going to do this as an application. Now, you can grab these. We will make more of these if we need to make more of these. But I'm going to post this on my mirror in the mornings, and I'm just going to confess these things over my life. Because this is what the scripture says. This is what the Bible says about who I am. So I'm going to ask you, in faith, we're going to read them together. Are we ready? We got the first one on the screen. It says, I am a new creation. Can we get that one on the screen? Keep on going. Keep on going. We're going to get into the next one on the screen. The next one, please, on the screen. We're going to start with I am. Here we go. So we're going to confess what the Bible says. Now, I believe there's power in speaking things out loud. And so you may need to find another scripture. You may need to find some verses for your own life. But we're just going to believe God and speak these things that are not and things you might not feel into those things that are. Here we go. Can you read with me? I am a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. Next slide. I have died and been raised with Christ and now am seated in heavenly places. Next slide. I am dead to sin and alive unto righteousness. Amen. Amen. It says, let's do the next slide. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper, but every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I shall show to be in the wrong. Next slide. I prosper in everything I put my hand to. I will prosper in all the areas of my life, spiritually, financially, mentally, and socially. Next slide. I take every thought captive into the obedience of Jesus Christ, casting down every imagination and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Next slide. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Therefore, all of my thoughts are positive. I do not allow Satan to use my spirit as a garbage dump by meditating on negative things that he offers me. Amen. All the women said amen. All the husbands of those women said amen and amen. Keep on going. And Ephesians 4:29, I don't speak negative things. Next one. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. I will speak forth the righteousness of God all the day long. Next one. I am always a positive encouragement. I edify and build up. I never tear down or destroy. Next one. I am a believer and not a doubter. Next one. I am slow to speak, quick to hear, and slow to anger. Next one. I am a doer of the word. I meditate on the word all day long. Next one. For those of us that struggle with this, I will study the word of God and I will pray. Next one. I am a giver. It is more blessed to give than to receive. I love to give. Next one. I cast all my care on the Lord, for he cares for me. Next one, I teach my kids this. I don't have a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Next one, I do not fear. I am not guilty. Next one, I am not passive about anything, but I deal with all things in my life immediately. That we need to work on. And last one, I have been set free. I am free to love, to worship, and to trust with no fear or rejection of being hurt. Can you bow your head, please, and close your eyes? Today in the room, you take that home. There's like 500 more sheets of that anywhere that you look. There is a strength that comes from confessing what God has already said. And we forget that. I forget that. God has been convicting me to pray for things that are not as though they were. And about 3 or 4 weeks ago, we pray on Mondays, you should come. I think we start at 8:30 to 9:30. We pray on Sundays, you should come. At the end of this month, we're going to have like a 24-hour prayer time. We believe in prayer. But you know what? Prayer a lot of times is confessing those things that are not as though they were. And we were struggling. Just believe in the lie of the enemy. Our constant battle is that what we do doesn't matter. That's mine. And that we'll never see what we want to see, that's also mine. And I just started speaking negative over my life. And about 3 or 4 weeks in prayer, God just reminded me, Terry, you're to speak things that are not as though they were. So I put on some Christian worship music. I go get some oil. And I start anointing every chair in this room. For 3 weeks now, or 4 weeks, I don't know how long. And I just claimed over every chair this past Monday, God, I declare things that are not as though they were. For you, for us, for our church, for your families. If we're to live in the power that God has for us, we are to declare those kind of things over our lives. And we were not to be moved by the circumstance. And I think in that moment, Ted and I were just moved by a circumstance or like 20 million circumstances all happening that were all bad. And I'm not saying those things weren't bad. I'm not saying those things didn't have to be dealt with. I am not naive. If you know me, I am not naive. But there was a point where God just said, it has to stop or else you'll quit and you'll give up. Instead, you need to declare things that are not as though they were, even though you cannot see it. And so we've just been doing that for about a month, just speaking the things of God over this place. And then even in faith, we began to go, I've been going over to the backyard and believing, because I don't even know how God's going to do this, how he's going to give us the backyard. But we just declared and anointed it with oil every single day for the past 3 weeks. We've been clearing it over our thrift store, things that are not as though they were, that would be a place of ministry over every building. God, that you would, that we say things that are not as though they were. And I'm not saying that we've seen a whole lot of movement. It's gotten better. But we're believing like Abraham, though he was 99, that we will see the work of our labor. And today, when you confess those things that are written down, you are confessing the word of God over your life. So we're going to pray, and then I'm going to ask you to, when you walk out those doors, don't listen to a negative thought. Take these scriptures, memorize them if you have to, plant them somewhere where you can see them, and confess what God has already said about you. These are not made up things. These are things found straight from the scripture, from the word of God. Abraham believed the word of God. Gideon eventually believed the word of God. And he was a great man of valor. He had to walk into it. So do we all. Don't beat yourself up because you're not there yet. Say, this is where I'm going because of who God is. God, we thank you that there is power in your words. God, we thank you that we can confess a word over our family, God, over our job, over our community, over our schools. God, we confess good words over our schools, Lord God. So many times we'll say the negative thing, oh, nothing good can come out of that place or that school or that family. And God, we just repent for using our words to destroy, even if it's not a particular person. Sometimes it's the work that you're doing, and we use our words to destroy the work that you're doing, and we say that we're sorry. God, we repent, and I pray that you will control our tongues. God, that we will only confess those things which are good, which are pleasing, God, which are edifying to the body of Christ, and we will not be moved by what we see, but God, instead, we will be moved by what you say. God, help us, God, to confess things that are not as though they were, in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen and amen. We're going to copy these really quickly. The thrift store is open. So if you want to stay around because you didn't get one, in Jesus' name, we love you guys. We'll see you Wednesday at 6:30. We'll get some more of these. They'll be on the welcome desk as well.